You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera, and I'm alongside Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to a big day, Jay. Who do we have?
We've got Luis Gonzalez, Gonzo.
Gonzo, and that'll be at the 6:15?
At the 6:15 mark. We're going to bring him in, talk some Major League Baseball, what's going on over there. Hopefully, he can give us a little bit of insight. We're going to have a little fun with him, so stick around for that.
Yeah, he's one of those guys you can't have fun with. For the time being, it looks like we're going to have something coming up pretty soon. Well, I don't know about pretty soon, but we're going to have NBA basketball.
Well, the NBA has solidified, and the owners voted on their plan to start playing on July 31st. Apparently, the players have to ratify it, but all signals are pointing towards them ratifying that. So it looks like the NBA's got its act together, and they're going to have a season that's going to start on July 31st. They're going to have a few regular season games and then playoffs. So
a lot of things going on in August.
Yeah, you know, things are going to start, you know, ramping up. The NBA is going to get going. The NHL is going to get going. We're all waiting for Major League Baseball to figure out what it's going to do. And then, you know, hopefully we're going to start having college football and the NFL in late August and early September.
So we know what we're going to do here in 10 years when Arizona faces Alabama here and there. We don't know what we're going to do in December, do we?
Exactly. Well, that's the thing. You know, there's some conversation on Mark Emmert was doing a briefing at Congress. He was there with four other leaders of sports, the NHL, NASCAR, NBA, and the PGA Tour, just kind of giving a briefing on what was going on. And in that, he apparently said that he thinks that the college football season as a whole will end before Thanksgiving, and that includes regular season and conference championships.
Well, Mark Emmert is?
He's the commissioner of the NCAA, or executive director, I think that's his official title. Well, the college programs are kind of like going, that's the first we've heard of that, because they're planning on having full seasons. And so,
which go beyond that date.
Right. For right now, you know, I mean, I know the Arizona State football game is scheduled for the Saturday after Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So basically, Mark Emmert is saying the season could be shorter and could end before Thanksgiving. You know, for instance, college football playoff came out and said our schedule's not changing. So what's the use of ending the season early if the college football playoff is still going to be in January? So what are you going to do there? So again, what it's really saying is that there's still a lot of uncertainty as to what's going to happen. One of the other things that came out of that meeting was that Emmert also said that there's some schools that they're not sure are going to play. So what kind of scheduling issues is that going to cause?
So here we are again, one of those things that it's too early to tell,
right?
Because we're in early June.
We are. And so, and yeah, and that's exactly what it's saying. It's just saying that there's still a lot of uncertainty. Mm-hmm. While everybody's saying there's going to be college football and there's going to be this and there's going to be that, there's still a lot of things that got to get figured out. I mean, we just heard today that five Alabama football players have tested positive for COVID. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? How are they? Okay, maybe, look, it's never a good thing for somebody to get the virus. But if you're looking for a silver lining to something, if these guys are going to get treated and they're not going to have real serious complications, at least it's going to give a sense of what do you do when guys on your team contract the virus. How do you quarantine and how do you keep testing? What I read was that they were tested, didn't have it, did some workouts, were tested again, and they did. So you know, what's going to happen? So, man, there's just still so much more to figure out here.
Oh, there's no question. And that's just one sample size. Although there's been there's going to be a lot of sample sizes here in a month or so.
Right.
As a return. Arizona comes back, July 15th?
Yeah, the Pac-12 schools can be back on campus on July the 15th.
How transparent do you think all this will be?
I almost think that they have to be, you know? I mean, if you're not, and something gets out, let's say what the U of A is doing is 20 football players are going to be able to come on campus on June 15th, and they start working out. And they get tested, And if one of those guys contracts the virus, and the U of A doesn't say publicly, we've got a guy with the virus, but it gets out later, what are you going to do if you're a parent of a football player?
No, no. If Jay Gonzalez, the head quarterback, the quarterback of the football team, gets it,
they better say
something.
Absolutely better say something, because, you got fans, you got staff, you got coaches. Everybody needs to know exactly what's going on. So if somebody gets the virus, I get it. You know, at Alabama, they didn't identify the five players who got it because you've got federal privacy issues. But you have to say somebody's got it so that people know what they're dealing with. So that maybe, let's say one of those 20 guys gets it, there may be somebody who's scheduled to be in the next group of 20 who says, I'm not coming because of this.
Do you remember when the kids were having so many problems with concussions?
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't know.
Right. Right. So I think they better be pretty darn transparent about this as much as possible within the guidelines of privacy laws.
Sure, sure. And that's the and you've been part of it. It's the stickler of the whole thing. Student privacy laws are stuck to like crazy.
We know, but we also know that all too often, some of the schools have hidden behind the privacy laws.
No question.
And there've been some issues and they say, "Well, I can't say because of this." Well, yes you can. You're just choosing not to.
Correct. So. Correct. No, how do I know those words?
Yeah, you dealt with it way more than I did. It became more of an issue after I was done. But all this says that there's still so much more to happen. There's so much more that we don't know, and we're a long way from anything.
Right, right. And unfortunately, right now in early June, guess the numbers are going up again.
They are. But, everybody's saying it's to be expected.
Let's go to Vegas.
It's just a matter of, what are you going to do about it? And how are you going to deal with these things? And that's the big question. I mean, how long can we stay shut down? I don't know. But at some point, you have to say, we just got to figure out how to deal with all of this.
This is the ultimate catch 22.
No, sure is.
In my lifetime, your lifetime probably, I don't want to speak for yourself, but what do you do? How early do you go out?
Right.
Not 2 hours.
People want to get back to their lives. And I see the point. I see the point of that. But, I was just having a conversation with my daughter today, who's got to go back to the U of A in the fall. She's a freshman. She just finished her freshman year. And she said, "Dad, I think I'm going to try and get all online classes." Mm-hmm. How many kids are thinking like that?
And let me tell you something, and you probably know this, how I feel. College isn't about that. College is about fun interacting with people.
Sure.
It's about learning, of course, but half of it's growing up.
Yeah, it is. The experience goes beyond the classes, 100%, absolutely.
Right.
So I don't know. There's, again, so much more. You just got to... You figure it out day by day, that's really the best that you can do, taking precautions, making sure that you listen. You got to listen to the experts, and that's what really needs to happen.
Right, right, right. Let's take a quick break here. Come back on the other side. Get Luis Gonzalez on the phone.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have Arizona Diamondbacks hero, Luis Gonzalez. How are you, Luis?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing really good, Luis. So let's just jump right into some of this because, we've been talking the last few days and, you're starting to see, NBA, NHL getting plans in place to get started. And MLB seems to be a ways away. You've been on both sides of this. You've longtime player. Now you're a front office guy. What needs to happen? Where are we and what kind of needs to come together in order for Major League Baseball to get going?
I just think they need to lock both sides in a room and let them hash it out instead of just dealing with the public perception that either side wants to have. I think they just need to get something working. And this isn't good for either side, really, to be honest with you. I think, there's a lot of complications that go into this because it's a 162-game season that was supposed to happen. And then with a pandemic stuff going on, and then now we have all the other the riots and different things that are happening right now. It just hasn't been good for anybody. So any type of sports right now would be therapy for people. So I think it would benefit everybody, really, if we could try to work some type of agreement to get baseball back on track.
We were talking about this. We heard that, 114 games possible. That was whatever. Now 80-some games, whatever. Who knows what the schedule is going to be. What would be ideal? I mean, we could make it 80 before July, possibly.
Yeah, every time I'm like you guys, every time I hear something, it keeps dropping because time is of the essence. The more time they take to look at their proposals and things, those are just days that are just, marching off the calendar, and you need to try to get something done if you're going to do something, because sooner or later the NFL and like the NBA has already reached some type of agreement to have their games. Something's going to have to be done soon if there's going to be any type of season here in 2020 for Major League Baseball.
Well, is there a number of games that you think makes it, for lack of a better word, a legitimate season?
I think right now this is just this is going to be a different type of year for everybody. I don't think the number is going to matter. I think postseason is what everybody would love to see. I think that's what's going to make a difference. I would say if you could play 50 to 100 games somewhere in that range, that would be great. I really don't know. I'm just like everybody else right now, just kind of sitting back, just kind of waiting and hoping and praying that something gets done here real soon.
What are some of the issues for the players in terms of, getting ready to play?
Right,
I mean,
right.
You were one of the best players in baseball, for a time. I mean, what does a player have to do to his body to get his body ready to play? I mean, how much time do they need, and what kinds of things that they have to do so that they're not risking something else long-term and stuff like that? I mean, how much time do you guys need?
I think it's more for the pitchers to benefit. The position players, it doesn't really take that long, maybe 40 or 50 at-bats for me in spring training. That's all it took me to get ready to see live pitching. The pitchers are the ones that you really worry about, and I think they've talked about expanding some rosters and, having, more players there where you can funnel in and out because of the simple fact that they're not going to be 100% ready to come out and just fire off 100 pitches right out of the gates. But, I think one of the big hiccups right now is just financial for the players, and it's hard because there's not going to be any fans in the stands right now. Everybody's worried about the virus, and although you watch TV and with all the riots and and the protests and different things that are going on, there's no it doesn't seem like there's a pandemic going on right now. Aside from everybody just wearing face masks, everybody is just huddled up right next to each other.
Well, it seems to be over in Las Vegas. They opened last night. You see pictures.
Yeah,
of,
absolutely.
Their people are they loaded up. Their people are hanging out in those casinos.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is just people are just tired of being cooped up in their house.
Sure.
I think people have gotten to that breaking point where they just said, we have to live our life and do stuff. And unfortunately, with all this going on, there's a lot of people, even in Major League Baseball, there's been a lot of cutbacks and people have lost jobs. And not just in sports, but in every occupation, people are losing their businesses and things like that. So it's been a really, really bad time for our country here in the last 4 or 5 months.
Like Jay said, you played a number of years as a player. How do you like your new role or your role as it stands now? I mean, you kind of get a different view for things.
It's definitely a different perspective. I've learned a lot being on this side of, in the office side, from being on the field. You didn't realize that there's so many other intangibles that go into making the wheel sort of spin when you're playing baseball. But I've learned a lot. It's been great. My boss, Derek Haar, our team president and CEO, and our owner, Ken Kendrick, have really adapted to me and welcomed me with open arms. And I've been able to sit up there during games been able to sit with them in meetings, and I've learned a lot. I mean, I just kind of sit back and kind of draw from what, you know, what's going on in the baseball world and just kind of learn from that. You know, you always think you're going to be a baseball player your whole life, and reality is it's not going to happen. For me, I was fortunate enough to kind of make friends and be respectful to everybody and have that second opportunity to stay involved in the game to some capacity.
So tell us a little bit about the Diamondbacks. What are we going to be looking at when they finally hit the field? How good do you guys feel about where you are?
Well, I tell you what, we were feeling really good about it before all this happened, before the virus came out. Our guys, you know, we had just signed Bumgarner. We were feeling really good about our team. You know, the Marte boys Cattell has had a fantastic season. And you know, we just felt really good about our team coming into spring training. And this was just a big setback for everybody. And I think, you know, a lot of our guys are still working out, you know, in small groups. We're not able to have full team workouts and things like that, so it's been kind of difficult. I know our hitters and our pitchers and stuff, they do a lot of Zoom meetings and different things like that, and then just try to stay in contact with everybody. I think that's been pretty important for our organization and for our team, for our guys to kind of stay in contact and be ready to go, because we don't know if this agreement is reached. We don't know if it's going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month before they start playing, but we know the sooner the better that they can get out there and start playing.
And how weird will it be when there's nobody in the stands?
Oh, it's definitely going to be weird, because a lot of players, you know, you thrive on the adrenaline from the fans and just being, you know, the hype of the stadium and the announcers and the scoreboard and different things like that. And to not have that in there, it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be like playing I always tell people it's like playing a B game in spring training at 10 o'clock in the morning on a backfield where the only people that are there is if there's a young kid that is coming up from the minors that his parents are in town visiting, and they're the only ones that are sitting in the stands to see them play.
Well, Jay and I wished to be that player, and that never happened.
We'll get you out there.
My time is coming, gone.
Yeah, you know, Luis, I took some cuts in a batting cage last summer, and it took about 3 days to get over it. So I don't know, man. I think my career is over. So, you know, you know, going forward on that, I mean, you know, is it when the season does go, and I mean, you'd expect that they're going to figure it out. And I mean, while it doesn't look great right now and there's all kinds of things going on, I just still think there has to be a Major League Baseball season, just like there has to be a college football season and an NFL season. There's just too much at stake to not be. So when that, let's say when that happens, you know, do we just have to have a different mindset about what this season will be? You know, what will we think of the World Series champion and the American and National League champions? I mean, how will players view that in terms of, you know, if as an accomplishment? You know, the whole question of the asterisk. I mean, what will it look like?
Well, I think for a player, if you win a world championship, it's not going to matter. They'll take the championship any way they can get it. You know what? If a season does happen, it's going to be the hottest team out of the gate is going to really have the benefit.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're playing, if you're playing 50 games, you're playing basically a third of the season. And you may have an MVP that nobody was even thinking about, a guy who's either been a journeyman or just a young rookie that just gets hot right out of the gates and can be the most valuable player, the Cy Young Award winner. You can have a hot month and basically, if you play, 50, 60 games, that's a month and a half, 2 months of the season. You can have a hot month and be considered the most valuable player. So, you know, there's so many different things that can play into this. There's so many scenarios. I think the first step for us is just to try to get something done to see that we're moving in the right direction and our fans can get excited about baseball once again.
I want to just go random on you. Were you like 19 when you hit the single? Because it's 20 years ago. Does it seem like 20 years ago?
Yeah, I was 15? I was 32 years old, believe it or not.
So, how does that feel, 20 years ago?
It still feels great, I tell you. It never gets old. My kids are the ones that are tired of hearing about it, to be honest with you. They just kind of walk away when somebody comes up to me and talks about it. But I mean, it was an incredible moment in my career, and it's something that, you know, as a young kid, you know, you dream about being in those situations. And for me, baseball was what I chose, but I dreamed about, you know, throwing the game-winning touchdown or, you know, sinking the putt or making the three-pointer to win the NBA championship. I mean, you know, if you're competitive and in sports, you always, and I tell young kids now, close your eyes and put yourself in that situation, and you never know. Sometimes your dreams may come true, and that's what happened to me.
Well, we all did that. You know, we all did that growing up, and, you know, for you to get a chance. So you know, Fox Sports is playing all seven games of the series, and I think tonight is game three. Will you watch that?
You know what? My kids are 21 years old now. So, and my son plays in the San Francisco Giants organization. I mean, through all the bad stuff that's been going on, we've been blessed to have them all home right now at the same time. And we've really taken advantage of this, this stuff to have everyone together. I mean, this is the first time in a long time that we've been able to have group meals together. And I mean, if there's one positive that can come out of this, there's more quality and family time that you're able to spend. But I tell you what, I'm so sick of reality shows. But I have my triplets. I have two girls, so my wife and daughters, all they watch is reality shows.
Oh,
and
man.
Every time I go in there, yeah, I have to leave the room if I'm going to watch any type of reruns or sports or anything like that. So yeah, it's been pretty difficult in here as far as being able to see any of those old games.
Well put an old ball game on.
They'll roll their eyes if they see it's a game with me on it. God, here we go again.
You know what? I'd love to sit down and have a beer with you and watch a game.
In fact, that was one of my questions.
That would be great.
How is it probably never having to buy a beer anywhere in Phoenix?
Well, that used to be the case. Not anymore. Now I've lost some hair and a little bit heavier, so I just kind of walk around and it's a blessing for me that I was able to play big league baseball and do something that millions of people dreamed about doing. And I never took it for granted from day one that I was in the big leagues. I always treated people the way I wanted to be treated. And I think that's benefited in the fact that I still have a great rapport with the fans here in Arizona.
Well, that's perfect, because we're gonna talk about that a little bit after the break here.
Yes, we're hoping you stick around for another 15 minutes after the break.
Absolutely.
Here on 10:30 The Voice. Have a little fun here.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll-free at 888-881-5765.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have Diamondback star Luis Gonzalez. So Luis, I saw a show last week with Todd Walsh and you and Tino Martinez. And I'm thinking, I was wondering about the pressure or maybe about being a role model. Is there any for you, especially in Arizona with the Hispanic community? Or do you like that phrase?
I absolutely, I do. I think... you know, as a young kid, I was that one. I was that kid that was hanging around in spring training sites, wanting to be like those guys on the field. And I think, you know, being a professional athlete, you're given a voice and a platform. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I didn't grow up with a lot of money, and my parents didn't have a lot, but they sacrificed a lot for me. And my mom was a school teacher, so I saw a lot of the struggles that my family and my parents went through to try to provide for me and my brother and sister. And that's something that always stuck with me. And, you know, even to this day, I try to help out in any type of, assistance that I can to different charities and various organizations and stuff like that, because that's how I grew up. And I've always made that promise to myself and to my mom and my family that we want to be able to help impact people if we can.
Well, Luis, you know, I got to say for always that, you know, since you were here at the Diamondbacks, you've always had the reputation of being a good guy. And I can tell you from personal experience, and I'm going to set this up for you. We're going to have a little fun with you on something that I want to set it up. 20 years ago, you were down here for spring training. You know, and there's at the time at the PGA tournament up at Tucson National, there was always a party on Friday night at a grand, a thing they call the Grand Slam tent, and you were there. Do you remember that about that time? You might not, but you, anyways, you were there. And a whole group of us were at a table right next to you. I don't know who you were with. You were with some other players, whatever, I'm assuming. But you were at this table, and we were all chatting. Hey, there's Luis Gonzalez. So somebody in my family, I was there with my brothers and my wife and a bunch of friends of ours. Somebody got the idea to see if you would call my sister, because she was a huge fan of yours. Actually, I'm just going to embarrass her some more and say that she thought both you and Steve Finley were really hot. And so either my brother or my wife went up to you and asked you if you would call my sister and say hi. And you did. You were great. You know, you said, oh, yeah, sure. So we dialed the phone for you, handed you the phone. For some reason, we called her home number. And I'm not even sure why we called her home number instead of her cell. But anyways, the phone rang. Well, she wasn't home. So you left a really nice voicemail. Hi, this is Luis Gonzalez. I'm here with your family. And they said, call and say hi and all that kind of stuff. And you were really nice about it. But at the end of the voicemail, instead of just saying, nice to talk to you, bye, you said, I'll talk to you later, and then you hung up. So the running joke in the family is that she's been waiting for the callback for about 20 years.
20 years? Oh,
jeez. Because this was either the 99 or 2000 season, because that's when she was living in Phoenix at the time. So that's
you'll have to put me in touch with her one day, and maybe we can finish that conversation.
I'm glad you said that, because she's on the line right now. I'm serious.
Oh, my God. Hi, Luis.
How are you doing?
So, Luis, that's my sister, Elaine.
I'm glad that wasn't a collect phone call. That bill would still be running up.
I thought you might have forgotten my number. When you said talk to you later, I didn't realize later meant 20 years later, but I'm not complaining.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay.
That was such a great... I couldn't believe it when I came home and the answering machine was blinking and I hit play and I just stood there with my mouth hanging open. Couldn't believe that I wasn't home to take that call. But it was a memento that I still have, I have to say.
Well, that's awesome. I appreciate that. One thing that I've always, my big thing is, I play with a lot of great teammates and I play with a lot of not so great teammates.
Yes.
But the thing that I always try to do is make people feel comfortable around me and just kind of show people that I'm normal. And I always used to, I always used to use the example, when I was in my prime, I can go out and hit two home runs and drive in five runs. But when I got home, my wife still had the garbage waiting on me or just had to help out, do chores around the house. And just to let people know, and even my neighbors, just to be out there playing with my kids and things like that, I'm a normal human being. I'm doing something that millions of people want to do, but I was just, very blessed and fortunate to be in a great situation to make an impact.
Well, Luis, I got to say, whoever it was went over and handed you the phone, you didn't bat an eye. It wasn't like, oh God, here comes another fan. Okay, I'll do this. you were so happy to do it. And, Elaine, after the fact, she called like, how the hell did you guys pull that off? And so you were so great about it. But again, 20 years, I'll talk to you later. So we thought we'd pull this together.
Awesome.
And I just want to say thank you. Just thank you for all the incredible memories from your time with the Diamondbacks. It was a truly fun time for all of us here in Arizona. And we get that from you, that you are just a regular guy and you love it here in Arizona. And that's always come through and we'll always be grateful and I'll always be a huge fan.
Okay, well, I appreciate Elaine, right?
Yes.
It's Elaine? Elaine, let's not wait 20 years to talk again, okay? Hopefully I'll talk to you before 20 years.
You got it. I'm going to hold you to that.
All right.
Luis, thanks a whole bunch for doing that. I appreciate it. There you go, Elaine. Cross that off your bucket list.
So, Luis,
it's
funny. You brought something up. I covered sports. I'm a sports writer, both Jay and I are. And one of the reasons I'm not that big of a fan anymore is because of the bad guys you talk about. There's a lot of good dudes like you, Steve Kerr, Chuck Charles Barkley was one of the great guys, accessible, easy to talk to. But there are some, you know, bad apples or whatever. I'm not that big of a fan because of them. Are you, now that you're in this role, and I'm sure you see them wherever they are you kind of an influencer to kind of steer them in the right direction?
I try, and I try to explain to them that, you know, the same people you pass on the way up are going to be the people you pass on the way down when your career is over. And, you know, it's just hard in today's society with these young kids. They have so many more platforms with social media and internet and, you know, just everything. They kind of create who they want to be. You know, before, unless somebody really knew who you were, the media was who perceived you, you know, could write about you and tell the people the story of who you really are. And I think now players kind of take that into their own hands by, you know, whatever they put on the internet, either Instagram or Facebook or Twitter and different things like that. And I think it's really hurt the industry as far as the one-on-one that fans usually can get with a player. You know what I mean?
Of course, yes. Yes, and they're everywhere now, at least the internet people. I mean, it's tough, but the good thing is you're out there trying to help just the average people, just kind of get their stories out.
I still think that the best medicine is just to be in front of a camera, be in front of the people, and just talk to them face-to-face. I'm not a real big, I always try to post, I don't post a lot, but when I do, it's all positive stuff. I don't really want to take a stance either one way or another, because I know, 50 people are going to like it and 50 people aren't going to like it, half and half. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Well, yeah.
So
go ahead.
I just try to stay, generally neutral and everybody has their own opinions. And sometimes, if you're given that opportunity, then you just express the way you feel. But you have to listen to everybody else's opinions, too.
Well, there's a lot of that going on right now, Luis, with all the, people, having comments about, the racial situation going on right now. And you're seeing a lot of that. Drew Brees, expressed an opinion and that blew up on him. LeBron has been out there. Other athletes have been out there. And we've actually been having this conversation the last couple of days about, athletes and the platforms that they have. And is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing that they express themselves? And, my point has always been, it's always a good thing. And you know what? Everybody is entitled to their opinion, like you just said.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just, sometimes you just have to be careful because the decisions that you make can affect a lot of people in a negative way or sometimes in a positive way. You just have to kind of think about it before you end up doing it.
You still Mr. On's number one son?
Oh, absolutely. I still enjoy going down there. In fact, my family was talking about trying to get down there real soon to go down there and eat with him. He's an incredible person. He was, when I first got traded to the Diamondbacks, I went to Tucson. I knew all the players on the team from playing for a long time. But everybody kept telling me, hey, you got to go to this place to go eat Sakura's. Now it's called Mr. On's. But I went there, and I went by myself, really, after a workout, and I met Mr. On, and from that day on, we have become family, friends, and the closest. He's incredible. He does so much for the community, and I enjoy anytime he calls, I drop what I'm doing and try to get back to Tucson. Tucson was a very special place for myself and my family because, my career really, I was a journeyman, and when I got to Arizona, the Diamondbacks really embraced me. The community of Tucson and the state of Arizona and Phoenix, they all embraced myself and my family and really made this place feel like home, and I've never left.
Well, we loved you here. I said the only baseball memento I have. I have two of them. I was with Tucson Electric Power at the time, and so I was involved in the naming of the ballpark and stuff. So I was involved with spring training, played in the golf tournaments with you guys and stuff like that. But after the 2001 World Series, at the 2002 golf tournament in Phoenix, all the players as part of the goodie bag were given a World Series baseball. I've got one signature on it, and it's yours. And I've still got that ball. So it's very cool. Awesome. They also gave us a jersey, and you signed the jersey. So I've got a jersey hanging in the back of my closet somewhere with your signature on it. And then I've got the baseball is prominent in my office. So, you know, and it goes back to
being a good guy.
Yeah. Which we saw. Because you know what? I was a sports writer for a while, and I saw some guys who weren't good guys. And we know who some of them are, and, you know, we had experiences with them both as writers and then just Absolutely. As fans. But, you know, when you're a good guy, you know, you create memories. I was 20 years ago, I was 40 years old, so I wasn't a kid around you, but I kind of felt like that. And I think, that rubs off on people.
Well, I'll tell you, if you were 40 years old, you weren't far off from the rest of the players in the locker room. Because I think in 2001, we were the oldest team in baseball. So, I appreciate that compliment. And, you know, that means a lot to me. And, that's something that I've always strived for is to, you know, be positive on the field and positive around kids and just try to be a great influence to them. You know, and I said earlier, you know, when you're given a platform like that to do stuff, you want kids to grow up wanting to be like you as a player and as a person. And, I always tell people, you know, the things you do on the field are great. And I tell our young kids that in the minor leagues, you know, but that's going to come and go. Like all the records and different things that I've done with the Diamondbacks are all great, but there's going to be great players that come behind you, the Paul Goldschmidts and, you know, the guys that are there now, you know, your Archie Bradleys and guys like that and Ketel Marte's, your Escobars, and they're going to break your records. But to me, it's the impact that you make off the field with the people is the stuff that they'll never forget. And from you telling me stories today of stuff that's happened in the past, it's proven that, what I tell the young kids that I'm on the right path with them.
So, Luis, I went to school with David Edwards in college. He had the hole-in-one. Do you actually believe that was a hole-in-one?
Did you? Was it last week or two weeks ago?
I think it was last week.
I still don't believe it, but he plays a lot of golf with my son. They go out and play, and he plays with a couple older gentlemen, and they seem to have a great time out there. Dave is one of the best. He was one of our best trainers. And now I give him a hard time because he's a trainer for the PBR, the Bull Riders.
Yes.
And whenever it's on TV, I always, you know, look for him on TV, and he made one of their commercials, and I ended up rewinding it and taking a picture of him and told him that my TV screwed up now because his face was on it. But, you know, we had a great bond of guys, and what made the 2001 team so special in that era that we were in is, we always, when we went to dinner, it was a group of us. When, we always treated people with respect when they came in, all the beat writers, everybody was great, you know. Kurt and Randy were just two different breeds. Those guys were on a superstar status that when they pitched, they were on their own program. We just kind of stayed away from them. But the everyday guys that were on that team, your Jay Bells, your Matt Williams, everybody, it was so much fun to be around, your Reggie Sanders, Steve Finley's, Craig Councils. That was a fun team to be around. And we still have a great bond, and we have a group text that we all – you know, a group chat that we all communicate with each other every day, and it's like a bond that we did something that nobody can ever take away from us, is win the first major championship here in the state of Arizona. So it's pretty special.
Very cool.
We had a lot of fun today. I hope you did too. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it, and thanks for having me, and Elaine, thanks for letting me have closure to that conversation that we had.
So. I appreciate you doing that, Luis. Anytime somebody can check off a bucket list thing, it's a good thing. So I appreciate you doing that.
That's awesome.
Being a great sport.
I hope to see you guys when I head down to Tucson soon. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Luis. Have a great evening.
Hey, that was a lot of fun. Let's take a quick break here on 10:30 The Voice and come back for about 10 more minutes.
For nearly seven decades, Hughes Federal Credit Union has been there for its members through good times and bad. We know that by working together, we can achieve great things, like addressing your financial needs during these times and beyond. Bank locally with Hughes, selected by Forbes as one of the best in-state credit unions for 2 years in a row. We've got you today, tomorrow, and for decades to come. Visit HughesFCU.org, insured by NCUA.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera. I'm with Jay Gonzalez. That was a lot of fun.
That was a lot of fun. My phone is blowing up with text messages from my family and friends. And, you know, my sister had a lot of fun. Like I said, we, you know, closed out a bucket list item for her. So that was great. But I can't let the mention of Craig Counsell go by without my sister's going to, I'm going to blow the moment for her because I've got a story on Craig Counsell. He blew me off for golf one time. And that was because I was supposed to golf with him at the Diamondback spring training golf tournament, not spring training golf tournament, preseason golf tournament up in Phoenix. And we had drawn his name to play in our group. So as we were getting ready for the tournament to start, we're waiting for our guy. Craig Counsell's our guy. He's the player that's in our group. We're waiting. The carts are starting to leave and he's still not there. And our host, Mark Fernandez, who used to run spring training down in Tucson, calls up Craig and says, "Craig, where are you?" He says, "I'm on I-10. I got sent to the minors." And he was headed back down to Tucson, so he didn't get to golf with us. And so, but my sister loved Craig Counsell as well. And so every time she mentions his name, I do mention that he blew me off for golf.
You talked about him, Finley, and Gonzalez, kind of like three guys, just good dudes.
Oh, yeah. You know, and they were, you could tell. I was on a sponsor trip where we got to fly to San Diego with the team and stuff like that. And you just saw the way they interacted with people, and they were just really good guys.
Really good guys. So let's take a quick call here. Dave, thanks for calling in.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thanks. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what a wonderful man Luis Gonzalez was. 20 years ago, he was one of the nicest guys in baseball, an ambassador to the game. I'll never forget how good he was to me and my brother, how he signed everything. And, we can't forget that bubble gum that went for thousands of dollars either.
Oh, that's right.
Tell me.
Didn't somebody, he threw a, somebody got his gum and I can't remember exactly what it was. Tell us the story.
He spit out his gum and somebody ran and picked it up like a bat boy or somebody. And it went for an auction for thousands of dollars. It was crazy.
Yeah, just, you know. But,
yeah.
Well, again, you know, like you said, he was always there for the fans, and you just love players like that.
Yeah, absolutely. And trust me, I had those Randy Johnson moments, and they were terrible. But Luis, man, he stepped right up to the plate, pardon the pun, and signed my 2001 World Series Diamondback hat.
Cool. There you go.
Cool. I'm sure you have it some safe place.
So, yeah, good. Well, good for you guys.
I still do.
Dave, just real quick. I think this is the first time you've called in. You can call in any time. Just enjoying the show?
I absolutely am enjoying the show, yes. Yes.
Great. Well, thanks for calling in.
Great to hear
you, Dave. Tell your buddies.
Tell your buddies all about us, Dave. Great. Thank you for calling in, and we appreciate it.
Yep. That was good. That was good. It was a good show today.
Yeah. You know, again, I just feel like Luis is one of the no-brainers because, and there are guys like that. And again, I've seen guys that were awful and, you know, they were just not my, you know, because of how I saw them with fans, I wouldn't even draft them in fantasy baseball because of that. I mean, we've known that I hold grudges about stuff.
Did you cover spring training?
I didn't cover any Diamondback training. No, I covered Indian spring training one year. The Indians at that time had a guy named Mal Hall.
Oh, I thought you were going to mention my guy.
And another guy named Julio Franco.
Oh, God.
And
good.
Those guys were
jerks.
Awful.
Jerks.
They were awful. Yeah. And then at the spring training that I covered, towards the end of spring training,
that's funny.
The Indians had traded for Phil Niekro. And Phil Niekro comes in, and he's 100 years old. He's been, you know, I got the sense that he was like Crash Davis. What the hell am I doing here? And I had to do a story on him the day he got there, and he was the nicest guy.
Yeah.
The nicest guy.
Right.
And so, you know, I never even did stories on Julio Franco and Mal Hall because I went up and talked to both of them a couple of times, and they were just jerks.
Yes.
And I hadn't even given them a reason to be a jerk other than I was a member of the news media.
Julio Franco was my guy, too.
Yeah. So there's guys like that. I will defend Randy Johnson because Dave just mentioned Randy Johnson's name. In one of those Diamondbacks tournaments, the spring training, I golfed with Randy Johnson here at Arizona National, and he didn't say a lot, but he was extremely friendly. Uh-huh. He put up with us. There were four of us. It was always four guys and then the Diamondbacks guy, but he was great, and we had a good time with him. Played 18 holes with him. we'd got our picture taken with him, which was really funny because he was, what, 6'11"? Mm-hmm. And so you had a bunch of 5'8", scrappers from Tucson Electric Power golfing with him, then the 6'11 guy. So, but, you know, he was gracious, and we had a good time with him. Also, right. Had a chance to golf with Bo Jackson, who was another really funny, great guy. Yeah, but, yeah. You know, again, no, it's not that hard for guys to be good guys.
No, and I know many of the bad guys.
Yeah, you're disappointed when they are bad guys.
Right. Tom, you wanted to say something?
Well, I've been in pro sports for 20 years, too, and been around this as well. But the guys who always made me chuckle were the guys who hated dealing with the fans, but were super nice to them. And I always kind of laughed to myself because at least they got it, even though they hated that part of the job.
Right.
And keep in mind, this is still a job. They hated that part of the job, but they knew they had to go out there and shake hands and kiss babies and not get that order wrong because they frowned on that. But, you know, I always kind of thought, all right, well, those guys to me were probably the most professional out of all of them, because you're right. There are just some people who straight up are going to be jerks. Then there's some really nice people. And then there's, look, that's every walk of life. You know, you get all those guys, which is why it's refreshing when you get the really nice ones who aren't spoiled by their success.
In fact, one of those guys that I dealt with for 4 years, we'll have tomorrow, Jason Terry. He's having a press conference tomorrow.
Right. Jason Terry's having a press conference tomorrow. So we'll sit in on that and we'll break it down for everybody. Again, one of those guys who just always seemed to have a smile on his face, and you really liked. So, you know, this was fun today. My phone is still blowing up over here, but again I can't stress enough how important it is, and I love it when I hear a guy say it's part of the job, just be a good guy.
You know what, and people aren't fooled because they know the difference between a good dude and a bad
dude.
Yes, we have a call coming.
We have
in.
Another caller.
We got about
Scott.
2 minutes left and we got another call, which is great. Anybody wants to call in down the road, please do. 79020, save that phone, 2040. And we'll talk to you freely. We love talking to you guys. We'll just wait for Scott to come on.
Scott, you got about a minute. Thanks for calling.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How are you?
We're doing good.
I'm pretty good. I'm just super excited about Jason Terry, the Jet, coming back to Tucson. Super excited about the men's program finally going in the right direction. Super excited. Bear down. Go Cats.
Let me say this, Scott, because Scott was a regular caller. He hasn't called in a while, but he was a regular caller. So you're now on the uptick or trending well for the program?
Well, of course. Miller made the only move that he could make, and that was bringing Jason Terry on board to bring me on board, and I'm here, and I'm ready to go.
Well, that sounds great. We're looking forward to it. We just hope that there's a season and a full season. But I do like what we're seeing from the program right now. So hopefully it's all going to work out well for Sean Miller and the Cats.
This pandemic has sure changed things, especially you, Scott.
Yeah, it's looking great. I can't wait. And go Cats. Talk to you guys soon.
Appreciate you calling, Sean. Have a great evening.
Scott, that was Scott. Good, cool. Man, Scott calls in with a positive note. I'm okay with that.
There he is. You know.
Great show. I mean, everybody loved the show, so they had to be positive.
Exactly. Good. Guys, it was a fun day. So I'm glad we're getting some callers in. And, you know, we'll break down Jason Terry's press conference tomorrow. And it'll kind of be almost like having him as a guest. So stick around, and we'll have some good stuff for you guys tomorrow.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Jay. Good show today. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow here on 10:30 The Voice.
Have a great evening, everyone.